And welcome back to Sounds of the Sanctuary, the second series of the podcast from Red Wings Horse Sanctuary. My name is Jude, and over the next five episodes, me and my colleagues from across Red Wings are going to take you on a tour and catch you up on what's been happening here at the Sanctuary since our last series. Each episode will bring you updates from some of our newly rescued horses and donkeys, and you are going to meet some of the staff and supporters who make what we do here at Red Wings possible. And with us currently caring for over 1,500 horses, ponies, donkeys and mules, we simply couldn't do it without them. Much like last series, each episode will be accompanied by a sister podcast called Field Notes, where I will sit down with some of our experts to explore topics that we touch on in Sounds of the Sanctuary in more detail. Make sure to click subscribe wherever you download your podcast so you never miss an episode. This episode is a bit of a cob special, celebrating our gorgeous cobs and the work that Red Wings carries out to help cobs elsewhere. We chat to Chloe about two cobs who've been rescued in 2022 and an honorary Shetland pony too. We also visit Turpin's Lodge Riding School, which is now home to five rehomed beautiful Red Wings cobs who are now thriving in their new home. Plus, we head on the hoof with Andy, our campaigns manager, to Appleby Horse Fair to hear more about Best at Appleby, which is a welfare award given out by vets at the fair to reward happy, healthy horses. And last but not least, we chat to Lou and Sarah from our vet team about Sanctuary star Audrey and why they are such big fans of cobs too. It's a bit of a bumper episode this week, but with cobs making up about a third of our whole equine population here at Red Wings, which is more than any other breed, we had to do them justice with a mighty episode. So enjoy. First up, we are catching up with Pickle, a young cob rescued by Red Wings in April with an injury to her eye. Pickle ended up needing surgery to remove that eye as it was causing her a lot of pain. Now fully recovered, she lives in a herd with fellow young cob Carey and her mini Shetland companion Mariah. They came to Red Wings in January this year after an incident on the A11 in Suffolk, which saw Carey's mum sadly killed and Carey and Mariah in need of a safe home. Let's hear how they're getting on in their new herd of, you guessed it, cob friends. We are here to have a catch up with three horses who have come into Red Wings this year. And we are, to paint the picture, we're in their paddock and we are currently being swarmed by a small gang of small piebald coblets. But I'm really here to talk to Chloe with her friends. And so, Chloe, you are team leader here, and so tell us your new arrivals. You've got Pickle, Mariah and Carey, so they are here as part of the gang. How are they settling in here?
I think they're settling in all right. I mean, they seem to be making friends and bonding. They kind of just came straight in the group like they've lived here their whole life. I mean, they've got friends. I mean, as we can see, we have many friends.
When I say friends, I'm currently got one little one pressing up against me and we're just sort of fending them off and trying to get them not to eat the microphone. That's about, you know, the extent of it, isn't it? Hello, who's this?
This is Sardinia.
Hello, Sardinia. And your little friend?
Trinidad.
Trinidad. They're very keen. They would like to be included as well. So they're all quite young, aren't they?
Yeah, so most of them are about 2 years old. So we'll paint the picture. They're like little toddlers. They will play and eat with anything they can.
Yes, yeah, so they want to be in everything, including what we're doing, and very curious. So obviously Mariah and Carey and Pickle are also quite young, so obviously these guys were the perfect fit just because they're similar in age and what they needed.
Yeah, so they are all together because our lot are quite playful.
And so they are all cobs because Pickle and Carey are also cobs, but then Mariah does rather stick out, doesn't she?
She does a little bit, but she's always at the front of the group.
So Mariah is a miniature Shetland, she I would is. Go so far as to say, isn't she? She's a little skewball of miniature Shetland. So she is considerably smaller than, even though these guys are babies, she is smaller than the rest of them. But as we walked across the field, they were all huddled under a tree and she stood at the front and was like, yes, this is my gang. So her size doesn't hold her back at all then?
No, I'm not convinced she knows she's as small as she is. I mean, she fends for herself. She abandoned poor Kerry when she first got here because she had so many more friends.
Yes. So they came in as a pair, but you say they're really well, you know, they're friends with everybody now. And
they are.
It does look, as we stood here, Kerry and Pickle are in fact grazing together. And so are they quite friendly, the two of them?
Oh, they are. They are the cutest little pair. They didn't even really act like they'd never known each other. They've slotted in and they're always together.
Always. You are being... I'm slowly losing to a small posse of cobs who have sort of surrounded her and are like, no, you must play with us. Talk to us. And someone else was trying to eat my camera bag, weren't you? Small friend here. Yes. And Pickle, obviously, when she came in with her injury to her eye, she had her eye removed very soon after her arrival, didn't she? So how do you notice that affecting her at all?
No, I think because she lost it quite young, I don't think she even notices that it's gone. I mean, she still acts like normal babies and
yes.
doesn't bump into things. She knows what she's doing, yes. so I'm yeah. not sure if she knows.
She coped. I mean, even when it was first removed, I know the team that were looking after her said that she didn't seem to be bothered by it at all. So these groups seem like good fun, but are they good fun to look after?
Oh, they are. They're very cute, and watching them grow, obviously I've been here almost a year now and they were all so tiny and quiet when I first got here, and now we can see they are not tiny and cute anymore. They're like naughty little babies.
Naughty little hooligans. Yes. Oh, you're having a good scratch. Yes.
Trinidad was a baby when I first got here. And yes. now he's all grown up.
Yes. And Chloe is currently got one having a scratch and giving her a kiss. One behind her trying to lick the back of her hat. And another one just sniffing her face. So she really Trinidad. Is being swarmed by them. It just goes to show how, you know, they must trust you because they love you and they're like, please play with us, please play. I mean, the three that we actually came to talk about have wandered off because we've been swarmed by it. So let's go and see Mariah. They've got lovely long grass in here and she is rather she's sort of up to her knees in it, isn't it?
We did get a bit worried when we came on here that we'd lose her.
Hey, Bobbit. Hello, sweetheart. Oh, you are very sweet.
Do you like a scratch? Are you?
Do you like a scratch? Oh, yes. There's some faces being pulled. A little chest scratch. Oh, you're giving my microphone a kiss too. Thank you. So, yeah, she's a little skewboard. So she's white and brown, or almost sort of chestnutty brown, aren't you? And you're very diddy.
So very we weighed cute. Her recently and she weighs under 100 kilos.
Oh, so she really is a little dog.
She is
she?
Tiny.
Yes. But more than capable of sticking up for herself.
Oh, definitely.
With these bigger ones, I can just tell.
She's very spicy.
Spicy is an excellent way to describe
that
it.
That is how I describe her.
Yes. And, wonderful. So, Chloe, as your, you know, day-to-day life over here, what's your favourite part of your job?
Honestly, just watching them grow up. Quite a lot of these, hopefully, will go off to rehoming, have families and live out their lives, and watching them do that is the most rewarding part of this job.
Yes. And on the subject of rehoming, would I be right in saying that you may have taken a Red Wings pony home?
I have, yeah.
Tell us about your pony.
So I've got a little Welsh pony called Graham. He is a monkey. He's got a really good brain, and anything I ask him to do, he says yes, okay.
Yeah, so you're doing some training with him and...
Yeah,
rips.
So he goes on little walks around the woods and stuff.
Aww.
Like.
And did you get him as a companion for your other
yes.
horse?
Yes. Yes, yes. And they're like brothers. They bicker over anything, but they'll stand there and use each other for shelter. They are good boys.
Oh, wonderful. Just to show, it's becoming a bit of a theme when I speak to people on the podcast that everyone may have taken... one home with them.
Yes, so, it's very hard when you work with so many of them. You can't not take one.
Can't not take one home. Yes. Well, thank you ever so much. It's been lovely to come and meet, and all of you lot as well. All of the ones who weren't necessarily the stars of the interview, but wanted to make sure you were the stars of the
definitely.
Show. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you.
Next up, we're off to Turpin's Lodge Riding School to hear more about just some of the cobs who have found a loving home on our guardianship rehoming scheme.
Today I have come 20 minutes down the road from our Red Wings Ox Hill site, and I'm here at Turpin's Lodge Riding School with Caroline, who is the owner. And Turpin's Lodge is home to not one but five Red Wings ponies, and I'm actually sat in their reception in front of their story cards. So there's a whole board of them. So we've got Cosmo, Maple Syrup, Jonesy, Homer and Merlin, all call home here at Turpin's Lodge. So Caroline, tell us how you ended up with your first pony from Red Wings, and how did that end up with being five of them?
We applied for a pony that was at Ox Hill, called Jack, I think, who we didn't get. And then Norfolk got in touch with us to see if we were interested in one of theirs, which turned into two. And Cosmo and Homer came in December. And then Maple and Jonesy came in January, all unbacked. Cosmo and Homer, we'd backed fairly quickly and got going. Jonesy very quickly. Maple is backed and going, but still a bit of an ongoing thing. Yeah. And we've just had the fifth one, which is Merlin, who has saddle and bridle and hacked out and things.
Well, we just, as I got here, Merlin was then heading off Merlin with Jonesy for a hack. So they've just gone off for a hack around the fields, you said, and they're going to go and encounter some sheep to see how we get on with some sheep. Why did you think about rehoming from Red Wings?
One of the girls that used to work for us took a job at Red Wings, and she actually suggested it. And Daisy said they had a cob at Ox Hill that was suitable, which, so we went through the whole inspection process and passed and everything. We didn't get the cob, but then Norfolk got in touch with us, and we went from there.
And in terms of, obviously, what, as a riding school, you must have to look for certain sort of characteristics in your horses that are going to suit life here. Is there anything about the horses from Red Wings that have made them fit right in?
I think the fact that they'd all lived as a herd before, so they can come and fit in with the herd here. The fact they came in two, so they had a friend with them when they came. And also all the work that the Red Wings staff had done with them, head collars, picking up feet, having the farrier, teeth, vet, innumerable handling, which makes our job much easier.
So you took them on some of that projects, which means you took on their riding training.
Yes.
Was that fairly straightforward for most of them?
For most of them, I mean, with any horse, you'll always have the odd difficulty.
And at Red Wings, we are a fan of a cob. We like cobs.
Yeah, I like cobs.
We look at your lineup of Red Wings, Red Wings, and I mean, Merlin, I would say, is on the lighter side of
cob.
I mean, Jonesy, Cosmo, Homer are, cobs through and through.
Yeah.
Were you looking for cobs in particular?
We like cobs.
You like cobs, What is it about cobs that suit life here at Turpin's
They're
Lodge?
Safe, sensible and fairly predictable.
Yeah.
They've all got characters of their own, so they're interesting.
Yeah.
But they're suitable for riders that are more on the novice side than the experienced side.
Yeah.
So, that's what. And they live out, they live in.
Yeah.
They don't need masses of food or, you know. They obviously need proper food, but they're just good doers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so suit life here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of riding schools like cobs.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's good. And I mean, we were saying Red Wings does rehome a lot of cobs, and some of our cobs are on the smaller side, so more suited for sort of small adults or children. Mm. So a riding school home like this is perfect.
Perfect.
Because
you've
got a never-ending stream of clients.
Yeah. We never get rid of. Got rid of any ponies because we've always got smaller riders coming on, whereas if they go to a private home,
absolutely.
If the rider outgrows the pony, then it's going to be passed on.
Yes, no, absolutely.
So it doesn't happen in a riding school.
And I mean, in terms of, you know, your Red Wings clan, are there any sort of particular moments that have stood out that either, you know, their personality started to shine? Have they been keeping you in anecdotes at all?
I think the first time the girls took Jonesy out, they took him through the village, or the first or second time, and he met a massive cement mixer going round by roadworks where the road was really narrow, and he just walked by like as bring it on.
That must have been a good sign that you were like,
perfect
he's
sign,
be, he's
going to
be
good
right at this.
And home, Cosmo, the first time we long rode him along the road, just to see how he was, he went past every bit of traffic, but just along the road on the left there were some sheep. And he did stop and look at the sheep. He didn't really do anything, but he looked at it.
Potentially, obviously at Red Wings, they see a lot of the farm machinery and everything that we use at Red Wings.
Don't see any sheep.
So, you know, it does go to show that seeing all the tractors and all the
machinery
that we have then sets them up that in their new lives, they're like, seen this before, got the T-shirt, so to speak.
They're really good.
I'm really pleased to hear they've been settling in well. And And I guess, you know, what's the future? Are we staying at five? Might there be more Red Wings ponies coming to Liverpool?
There may well be. I mean, well, no, we've got another one coming, actually. A little pony called Joy. I took Jonesy on a fun ride on Sunday.
Oh, wonderful. How did you get on?
We got Rosette.
Oh, wonderful. So this is
Jonesy's first Rosette.
The High Meadow Farm Livery fun ride. Mm. Very good. Yeah. And how was that? Was it good fun?
Really good fun, yeah.
Did he take it all in his stride?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because obviously fun rides can be quite
exciting. It can
exciting,
be a bit exciting, yeah.
For our horses,
Cosmo and Jonesy both went. Cosmo were the customer.
Oh, wonderful. And yeah. I mean, we've seen you guys are really great, and you tag us a lot on Facebook and social media of what they've been up to. And I mean, they've been show jumping and
cross country.
So they really have, you know, you give them.
And they do lessons and hacks.
Yes, we do lots of different things. And even today, you said there's an owner pony day.
Homer's doing.
So yeah. he's got an owner for the day.
Yes, Charlotte.
Some smaller people here today getting a taste of owning a pony. So not only are they, you know, obviously helping your business, hopefully inspiring the next generation of horse owners.
And it's good for the public to see Red Wings ponies actually doing something. And you know, if they give a donation to Red Wings, it goes to a positive course, and the ponies have a positive outcome.
Yeah, I guess on behalf of everyone here at Red Wings, thank you for becoming almost Red Wings' smallest site in the country. You've now got five of ours, so you know you're getting your own little Red Wings herd built, and thank you for giving them such a wonderful home.
Well, thank you for letting us have them.
And a future that we're going to all enjoy following on your social media. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Thank you ever so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Next up, we're joining Andy as she has a series of chats with people at Appleby Horse Fair, all about the Best at Appleby Welfare Awards. Now, these clips were very much recorded on the hoof at the fair itself, so I apologise for any wind noise and background noise. You can hear the horses in the background, but I hope you really enjoy these conversations as an example of how Red Wings' work is making great strides outside of our sanctuary fences too.
So I'm here at Appleby Horse Fair with Carl Blankley. He's just won the champion Rosette for Best at Appleby 2022 with his magnificent Frisian cross cob. He's absolutely stunning, this beautiful black horse, absolutely gorgeous. So I'm just going to ask Carl a few questions really about what it means to win. So Carl, how does it feel to win the Best at Appleby champion?
Oh, over the moon, we're ecstatic. What a thing, especially for this fair.
Yeah, why is the fair so special to you?
Oh, born and raised for the fair. And come to the fair every year with my dad.
So this really is a spectacular win.
It's a special event, especially here.
Especially
here. You can go to all the shows in the world, but I think Appleby's the one if you can win it.
Yeah, yeah.
Most definitely.
And have you heard of the awards before? Have you?
My daughter got young handlers a couple of years ago with her pony.
Oh, really?
Her pony, Jenny.
The little bay.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, nice. So were you giving your dad tips? Tips on how to look after his horse so that he could win the champion one day.
If I'm honest, I'm just the front man.
Oh, really?
All the girls do the work.
Oh.
I'm just the front man.
So you get all the glory today.
I get the glory, and the grooms are stood back there.
Yeah. Well, tell me, what does it take to look after a horse like this? I mean, he's a five-year-old stallion. He's done really well in this fair environment.
He gets the best of treatment. He's got his own chiropractor and everything.
Oh, wow.
So when he's out pulling the wagon, she comes and visits him regularly, gets him massaged. Feed bills enormous.
He's looked so powerful, but he's not overweight, and he's looking in great condition.
He's fit, he's in good condition. He's been in training about 12 weeks now.
Yeah.
And all the training's been done with the wagon on. So
great. How heavy is the wagon?
It'll be a ton and a quarter, empty.
And he's pulled that
For the last 12 weeks. He's probably done close to 700 miles with it.
Wow.
Without the 75 mile from home.
Yeah, not a rub mark on him.
Not a rub mark on him. The marks you do see is off where he ran with the mares.
and they're barely there. He's just looking absolutely immaculate. Well, I just want to say massive congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And well done, Lucifer. You spectacular thing of a horse. And well done to the whole family, to the grooms as well.
Thank you.
Still at Appleby. You might be able to hear some hooves in the background. Lorry's going. We're just rolling out. It's Sunday and things are starting to quieten down. I've managed to grab Roxanne Curtin, who is one of the Appleby vets, or the vets that are with the welfare team here. And I'm just going to ask her a few questions really about best at Appleby, because you've made a few of the awards this weekend. Tell me a little bit about why best at Appleby is a good addition to what the welfare charities do here.
Yeah, so we have a range of hats that we wear at Appleby, and I think it's super important to recognise that, as well as like health issues that we need to be around to help treat, that there's loads of really lovely horses at Appleby in great condition with owners that absolutely adore and dote on them. And it's really nice to be able to have those really positive conversations with people, and really acknowledge and recognise that for them as well, and get that message out there, so you know, people understand that there's loads of really lovely horses here.
Really lovely horses, and we have certain criteria, don't we, to be able to pick whether, how do we know which ones are lovely and which ones are not? I mean, yeah. How do you decide?
Absolutely. Well, I think the strapline, happy, healthy horses, just about says it all, really. So we're looking for horses that are in really good health, so good body condition, well cared for hooves, like really nicely turned out. And then we're also looking for horses that are like nice and calm and relaxed, are really nice and handled, so sympathetically driven or ridden as well, you know, and owners that really care for them and really love them and look after them and treat them well.
Horse health, happiness and horsemanship is the kind of summary, isn't it? And there are so many that it's quite difficult to pick. So tell me about your favourite winner from this weekend.
So I think there's been some really great ones. I didn't award the winner, but I think Lolly and Lucy, for me, I got told by the vets that had done the award just how much Lolly knows about horse care, even at her age, and I thought that was phenomenal. She clearly does such a good job of looking after Lucy, so I was super impressed with that. But Cal, I think he was a lovely winner as well.
Big trotter.
So, yeah, he's the big standard bred, ex-track racer. Couldn't have landed more on his hooves if he tried. Very lucky horse. He's now got a fantastic owner that clearly absolutely dotes on him as well. So yeah, and he was absolutely in immaculate condition, really nice and calm, super relaxed about everything going on around him. So yeah, they were probably my other favourites of the fair.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I absolutely adored all, I mean, all the winners were fantastic. What impact do you think Best Appleby has had in terms of some of the other hats that you've been wearing at the fair? Do you think that Best Appleby actually helps in any other way in terms of the welfare work or even just the treatment work that you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I think people now recognise our faces a bit more, I think. They know we're around and about, and they also know that we do wear lots of different hats as well. I think it's really nice to be able to have those positive conversations, and really helpful for us as well to chat to horse owners after the horse fair and gain a bit more of an understanding from their perspective too. So yeah, I definitely think it has. It has really helped people to understand we're not just here telling people off, you know, we're here for the horses, which is what everyone else here for, and that's our primary concern, is horse health and welfare.
I am here with one of the previous winners of Best at Appleby, in fact one of the fantastic winners from 2017 with his wonderful horse Harry Brown, who won Best Trotter. This is Lewis Buller and his son Alfie. How are you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, yourself? Good. Yeah, it's nice to see you again.
Yeah, definitely. And the weather's holding up, which is good.
Yeah, it's been a good weekend for that.
Yeah,
so
it's been good.
So tell me what you remember from the win back in 2017.
It was sort of before the Best at Appleby was really acknowledged. I think it was the first year you'd done it. I was just down in the river washing his legs out at the end of the day, and I got commandeered on my way out by two people forcing rosettes on me.
Oh yeah? Yeah. And how was it initially? What did you think when someone tried to come up to you?
Skeptical, because obviously in the years gone by all the vets have been a bit of stigma with it or whatever, but a lot of people were very, very wary of vets and stuff like that. But no, they came up to me, said what it was all about, and yeah, I thought it was good from the start, to be honest. It's good trying to promote the better side of the fair than a lot of the stigma that people sort of see and read about it. A lot of people stereotype it and don't see what it's actually about.
Yeah, definitely. And I can tell you now anyway, just for those of you listening, I'm stood by what is an immaculate horse. He's a trotter, he's in an astounding condition. Beautiful feet, really, really well muscled. He's super healthy, not got a rub mark on him. And yeah, he's just spectacular, real head turner. And has been like that since the day that Roxanne the vet spotted him. Do you remember what she said she noticed about him?
it's obviously quite a while ago now, but I think it was just his overall condition. It was towards the end of the Saturday, if I remember rightly, so he'd done quite a lot of work in the 5-6 days previous. She just said he looked really well, he was well looked after, he looked happy in himself. Just his overall turnout and well-being, yeah. She just noticed that about him, I think, to be fair.
Definitely. And how long have you had him?
I bought him in either 2014 or 15, I can't remember which. But one of the two.
And did you buy him to sell? Did you buy him to keep? Would you think you'd ever sell him?
I bought him by accident. I went to buy a trailer and ended up came back with a trailer, two carts and a horse. I was looking for a trotter at the time, didn't know if he'd turn into anything. And yeah, he's just made a real good horse. I'd never part with him, to be fair. He's just, you can see now, I've not even got the reins, he's just stood there. He loves it, yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, I noticed it. You don't drive with a whip or anything?
No, he doesn't need a stick to go.
What would you say to someone else coming to the fair, just never heard of Best at Appleby before and wanted to know what it was all about?
I mean, to be honest, I think a lot of people have heard of it now, because when it first started back then, a lot of people were very sceptical about it, didn't really know what you're all about. But year on year now, you get a lot of people that are very, very well known, horses that are very, very well known. You've only got to look at the Facebook page to see it's getting bigger and better every year. And like I said, there's a lot of well-known people, well-known horses that are really behind it now. So it's good, and I think it has the impact on the general public that'll just have this stereotype of Appleby in their head, that it's totally different to what a lot of people think it is. It's a really good day out. A lot of very, very well looked after horses. People just enjoying themselves, and it's good. It's really good.
Do you think that other people at the fair get to see the horses that win and sort of feel inspired by like you as a horseman and others that have clearly turned the horse out really well?
Yeah, I think people like it, and again, it's just fantastic publicity for the fair, and I think that certain people now do come and think, right, I'll try and get noticed. And
thanks very much for speaking to us today.
You're more than welcome.
Cheers. Hi, so here I am, I'm still at Appleby. You'll probably hear some traffic going by, people are spilling out now and starting to head home, it's the Sunday. But I thought I'd speak to Lisa Paulin, who is the RSPCA, the centre manager for Fell Edge, which is not too far away from here. But more importantly, you've been one of the longest standing team members for the National Equine Welfare Council on the engagement team here at Appleby, haven't you? How many years have you done it?
I think I must have done it for at least 10 years now. About 10 years.
And in that time, we've obviously started Best at Appleby competition. And this year, you have been my backbone, really, supporting me with all the paperwork. So can you say a little bit about what you've done this year?
Yes, certainly. Well, that's very kind of you. Thanks, Andy. I don't know whether I've been your backbone or just pain sometimes. But yeah, what I've been doing is trying to engage with anyone that passes the tent and make sure that they're aware of the Best in Show and explain what that's all about.
Yeah, and you've been doing some of the paperwork with the winners. Once a vet finds a winner, what does that involve?
Yeah, so the paperwork, I've just been making sure the forms are all ready, so the vet has got their form to fill in as soon as a horse is presented to us, and just trying to make it a bit more organised.
Yeah, so that's what I mean by the backbone. So getting that GDPR consent so we can use photos, and helping support the vet so that they can do all the engagement and about the horse health in front of them. And what have you seen, what do you think is the impact that Best in Show has?
Do you know, more so this year, I've really, myself, have started to appreciate how proud the people that are winning awards are, and it makes such a difference. And especially, obviously, the vets are awarding them for their condition and how well cared for they are, but the winners seem to be really proud and they want to show off. And of course, they're going around the fair then with their rosettes and everything on, and this just gives everybody else the impression that, you know what, I would like to be recognised like that. I'd like to be recognised as good welfare. So it almost promotes the entire fair, because not that it's going to be competitive, but it's always good to look to everybody as a good horse owner, I think. a lot of the community recognise us, and we've kept it quite consistent over the years, and now they're quite happy to come to us and discuss and get advice or swap stories. You know, it just gets better all the time, certainly for me, because I've been doing it for so long. I can see a huge difference.
Yeah, it's definitely been good to see people who wouldn't normally approach the tent come over for an award, have a conversation with you or with the vets, and then end up having conversations about, like, well, what have we got over there, like the skeleton maturation process. We've got a board there about how the bones develop in the horse over time, and we've got the pain and pain recognition faces over there, and feel boxes with various objects associated with positive and negative reinforcement. So there's lots of conversations that happen that are much more around sort of the educational side, but we wouldn't have those if they didn't feel comfortable coming over. And so yeah, it feels like Best at Show sort of gives people the confidence to have a look around what's on the tent and what have those conversations with the guys.
It really does, and I think more people now are actually they remember what we did last year as well, so they come to engage on the same conversation, so they wouldn't think twice about coming and asking us for worming advice, for example. All looking very positive.
Good. Well, thanks very much for speaking to me, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that just leaves one very important conversation about our sanctuary star, 13-year-old piebald cob Audrey. I went along to her special vet paddock to find out more, and again, with the joy of being out there with our horses, this interview has got a few wind issues too. I'm really sorry, but I think you'll really enjoy this anyway, as Sarah and Lou tell us all about this very special girl.
So this episode's sanctuary star is our well-known Miss Audrey, who is desperately trying to kiss the microphone, and we couldn't have a sanctuary star feature without talking about Audrey, and we often joke that she's got a bit of a fan club here at Red Wings, and I'm here with the two founding members of the Miss Audrey fan club, which is Louise Gedge, our nursing manager, and Sarah Pryor, who is one of our veterinary surgeons here at Red Wings. So this is a question for either or both of you. Why is Miss Audrey so special?
I mean, I don't know if I can sum up why Audrey is so special in just a few words, but Audrey is probably one of our, well, I think she actually definitely is our longest resident member of the vet unit here at Red Wings, and so obviously she's been in vet care for a long time with us, so we've all got to know her really well. And she's just been a super little character to have in vet care. She's no trouble, she's very well behaved, she's a very easygoing girl. She's been very good for us to do all of her veterinary treatments with, despite having a couple of little issues along the way, like a needle phobia and a few other problems. But yeah, she's just been a really good patient to deal with. Yeah,
fantastic. And I must just acknowledge in the background, you might be able to hear some whirring. That is our maintenance team, who are actually planting some trees today because they're being planted so that our vet care paddocks, where Audrey is, and our wood chips actually get a bit of shade. So they're doing a little bit of planting and stuff in the background. It's a busy little place around here, but we'll carry on. So I wonder if you can tell me, Louise, a little bit about Audrey's condition and why she needed the treatment that she's had with you.
So she suffers from canker, so it's like a long-term condition, and she had it really bad, and the vets were amazing, and she did have some surgeries on it, so she has been through the mill, which I think is another reason why we're her biggest fans, because we know what she's had to put up with and deal with. But she's come through that, and Sarah monitors her really closely as well, so it's like she's a constant patient for Sarah. But we did have some sad times with other ponies that came in with her for her rescue, so she's extra special because she's still here and we didn't think she was going to be. So, you know, she did ring that bell, and we're continuing with her care. But she's so beautiful as well, and she's so trusting, and so friendly and lovely, and she's really a pleasure. Even the yard members who look after her, and they play a big part in this with her care, with her stabling and her environment, to make sure that she has enrichment and that her bed is always clean and nice for her, and that she's on correct diets and stuff. So everyone puts their little bit in and loves her very much. I think she's got quite a wide fan club, really.
This is it. Her fan club stretches from the vet team, the yard team, us in the communications team. If we ever need a pony that can be reliably come over to the fence because we need a picture of a pony with something, Miss Audrey is always up there on a pony we can rely on. She's a bit of a legend. So in terms of her treatment now, obviously she's back in vet care, which I believe is for the winter, to keep her hooves nice and dry, I take it. And what does her treatment plan look like at the moment?
So essentially at the moment, Audrey's feet are looking really good. The canker is really well under control. We never like to say that it's completely cured because it's one of these very frustrating conditions that sort of keeps coming back quite recurrently. But Audrey is doing really well at the moment. We just have her back into vet care through the winter months when the ground is much wetter and the conditions are much more likely to be sort of encourage the canker resurging. So she spends sort of the winter living life as probably most normal horses in private homes. She has a stable overnight and she has turnout in the day, either on a wood chip paddock or in a field, just depending on how wet the ground is, really. And then she just has her feet picked out daily, and a couple of times a week she has a little disinfectant sort of spray on her feet, which mostly we just use like an iodine based treatment on her feet. It's more a case of she's doing so well at the moment, it's just monitoring to make sure that they don't deteriorate again, because obviously, as Lou said, she went through the mill with treatments for her feet, which did include several surgeries to sort of resect all of the canker affected tissue. So she's gone through a lot and is doing really well. We just don't want it to sort of deteriorate again.
Absolutely. And you may have been able to hear in the background a bit of chomping. So during, because Audrey was such a long-term patient, she learned of some cues and some training as part of her enrichment, and in the background Lou's been doing a little bit of that. And so tell me a little bit about that, Lou. What can Audrey do?
We brought this in because she found having her feet redressed after her surgery is very painful, and to save her having to be sedated, which she doesn't like, because she's very sensitive and she doesn't really like being groomed either. We started putting some sort of training in with her, so using food as a positive reward. So we continue to do that, but because she doesn't need that really for her feet anymore, we still just do it because she's very good at it, and if she does good things, we'll give her a reward for it. So she's standing here nicely for us today, so I'm just giving some little cues.
And she can do a touch on your hand, can't she?
Yeah.
And so she's sort of trying to touch us all, going, I'll do it, I'll show you.
Look. Yeah, she does. She plays statues. She'll stand really still. And she used to stand still as well. We used to do a lot of clipping. We used to call them spa days, just to keep all her feet really clean and tidy, because they're quite, these cobs have quite a lot of feather, and she does have a considerable amount of feathers.
You touched on, so this is the cob special of the podcast, and you touched on all her feather. So I know Sarah is a big member of the cob fan club, because those who listen to the first series of the podcast will know we went to see Sarah and her very own cob at home, which is Red Wings Matty. But why do we love cobs so much, Sarah? Why are they so great?
I mean, I just think that they are the most awesome horse breed. I mean, all the hair is just wonderful. I think on the whole, you know, a lovely cob is a very relaxed, friendly, very interactive character that likes, you know, likes their own time. They like eating, but they also really enjoy human interaction as well. They enjoy, I mean, Audrey maybe not quite the ideal candidate here, because she, like Lou said, she doesn't always enjoy a really good groom, but she does like, as you can see now while she's talking
human,
to us,
yeah.
She does really like interaction. It's just the right interaction for her. But on the whole, I find the cobs do really enjoy interacting with us as well as interacting with their field mates. And they're normally really easygoing, laid-back characters. They can be, I think, a little bit more sensitive than people give them credit for sometimes. I think you sort of, the general public assumption is maybe that they're sort of, I don't know, slow and relaxed and very laid back and a bit of a plod. Exactly. And whilst they often are sort of calm characters, I think they're a little bit more sensitive sometimes to the environment around them than their exterior gives off. Yes. Maybe.
Yeah, they're very intelligent as well. Yeah. I find.
Yeah. Are you a big cob fan too?
I wasn't, and when Red Wings, you know, were first sort of for Red Wings, you didn't really see that many. Mm. It'd be like, oh, you know, apparently the cob, you know, that one. and then we suddenly had, also over the years, had, you know, an influx of yeah. You know, the breed. So I've got to know them a bit more. But I wasn't, I'm more of an Arab person, so I wasn't really that keen. But I love them so much now. Yeah.
You've won her over.
Yeah, and they're just cute. They're so cute and so loving as well. Yeah, they're a great breed.
I think for people wanting a horse, they're very, you know, mostly they're very good doers. They're very versatile. So as much as we all think of them as a bit of a plod, they actually, you know, you get some cobs doing some lovely dressage tests you know, doing a bit of cross country. There's
you
nothing
and Matty in the show ring.
Well,
yes.
I mean, I don't know that I would base everything on just us. But yeah, I think they are very versatile and they can do lots and they enjoy doing lots of things. So they're, you know, not to be overlooked.
No, definitely.
Definitely not, no.
And I think on that note, we will say thank you very much, Audrey, and thank you very much, ladies. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
And that brings our Bumper Cob special to a close. I hope you enjoyed hearing all about our wonderful cobs, and I hope you can now proudly join us in saying we love cobs. We've covered so much in this episode, but if you've been inspired and would like to consider offering a home to a cob of your own, you can visit redwings.org.uk/rehoming. In this week's Field Notes episode, we chat to Sarah a bit more about our wonderful woodchip paddocks and explore more about the crucial role they play in our horse care here at Red Wings. So join us on Monday for that, but until next time, goodbye!